There we go. I will put you the proper headset over there. Hold on.
Just trying to get it set up so it's not too much for you. Go ahead and talk again.
All right. Hello, everybody. Can you hear all right? Some people were saying last time the sound was a little bit light. Can you hear this sound all right? All right. If it's good in Detroit, it must be good everywhere. All right. Well, hello, everybody. We've had quite a few questions this past week on some of the chat room talk about dojis and where they work the best. So David suggested we do a session on dojis. So what I will do is I've gone through quite a few charts, and most of them recent charts, of why there was decisions of buying or selling, and based on the doji, which is usually my most predominant signal that I'm looking for, because it definitely represents indecision. For those of you that are just new at candlesticks, the doji is kind of a cross. Let me get to a chart where we can demonstrate a cross. Let's go to HLIT. All right, you got HLIT. Notice the doji on about October 27th. And the doji, of course, is where it opens and closes right about the same level during the day. There's different types of doji. The normal doji is called the doji star. Then you've got long-legged dojis, where the trading range was very big during the day, and it closed right where it opened. You've got a gravestone doji where it opens at the bottom, goes up for the day, comes back down, and closes at the bottom. They call it a gravestone doji because the Japanese said the warriors went out to battle that day, and by the end of the day, they were beaten back to their camp, and so there was people dead all over the field, and that was the gravestone. The dragonfly doji is where it opens at the top, moves down during the day, and comes back and closes right at the top again. And it looks like a dragonfly doji, or it looks like a dragonfly. So in the case of HLIT, notice how the uptrend in October ended with that doji at the top. And rule number one in Japanese candlestick analysis is when you see a doji at the top, be ready to take profits, especially if you see them open it lower the next day. Now, the doji at the top, the definition of top for my analytics is that I'm using stochastics at 12.33. So if I see stochastics in the overbought area, which is over 80, and I'm starting to see dojis, I know that there's some indecision going on. And if I see a confirmed selling the next day, I want to be out of that position immediately. Conversely, dojis at the bottom are formed when the stochastics are below 20. But the difference between a doji at the top and a doji at the bottom is that you definitely need to see buying confirmation at the bottom, meaning you need to see a white bullish candle the next day after a doji, because the Japanese say the weight of the market can continue to push the market down, so a doji needs to be confirmed at the bottom. Recently, I think even today, as HLIT opened higher, we have seen a series of dojis, as you notice, for about the last week. There's about 5 or 6 doji days. But also just recently, not recently, but using David's day and 200-day moving average as your kind of a guideline, notice that those dojis were occurring right in that little space between the 50-day and 200-day moving average, which meant there was some indecision going on right when the moving averages were about ready to come together. The breakout today with the dojis bouncing off the 50-day moving average and the breakout above the 200-day moving average is very significant, especially with your stochastics down in the oversold area. One, let's take a look at IMM. IMM, even though it's a thinly traded stock, has always been one of my favorites because it always has very good patterns when it starts to break out. Notice at the end of October and the beginning of November, we had about a two-week period where all we saw was dojis, and the stochastics were coming up out of the oversold area and were moving up fairly high before we saw the breakout. Anytime you see a series of dojis, if one doji means indecision, a series of dojis means more indecision. And essentially what you want to look for is which way they're deciding to take that trend after that series of indecision. As you can see, in about November 10th or so, that white candle told us that there was something new in the dynamics of the trading of this stock, where it's gone from an indecision type period to they've made a decision, and that white candle told us what that decision was. Consequently, the next day, when they took it right up through the 50-day moving average, that told us that that was not going to be a resistance level, that there was something new going on in the stock. So I've had people that own the stock with the Hiromi that formed around October 28th, and we bought more as it broke out of that indecision period. But the nice thing about the dojis is that they tell you to start watching for what's going to happen after the indecision. And as we go through some of these charts, you're going to see an inordinate number of times where there's been a kind of a sloppy trading period. Then there's a doji right at the end of that sloppy trading period and a breakout one way or the other. Let's see. Let's take a look at PMCS. Peter, Mary, Charlie, Stephen. This is a case where there's been a, if you start back at about mid-October where it broke up through the 50-day moving average, and then you want to wonder whether it's going to come back down or not, you see a couple of dojis that are trading right at the 50-day moving average as it backed off, which kind of gave you the impression that they've got either two ways to go with it. They're either going to break it down to the 50-day, or they're going to take it back up. And seeing those two dojis sitting right on a 50-day moving average gives you the opportunity to say, all right, which way are they going to take this? And once you see the buying come in after those two dojis, which means they didn't take it back down to the 50-day, now the decision has been made which way they started back up. Also, on about November 18th, you see a gap-up doji at the... Whenever you are using candlestick analysis, you always have to keep in mind, where does the general public usually buy? They usually exuberantly buy at the top, and they panic sell at the bottom. That is the human nature of investors. And the nice thing about candlestick signals is that it is the interpretation of what the investor sentiment is doing in a particular time during a trend. So anytime you see a gap-up doji, especially with the stochastics up in the overbought area, that is a very good signal to be ready to take profits, if not that day, upon seeing any weakness the next day. Let's go to JAKK. Jack, Andy, Karen, Karen. If you'll notice, after the big bearish engulfing pattern in mid-October, then it gapped down the next day, the way to find out how far a trend is going to go down is seeing what the candlestick signals are telling you. Notice the next day after the gap down day, it did a doji Hiromi. Now, number one, a Hiromi should tell you that the selling has stopped, and a Hiromi that has been formed with a doji is that much more indicative that there's indecision and you probably see the end of the trend or the downtrend. So anytime you see a doji in a multiple pattern, such as a morning star or an evening star, that doji usually represents a little bit more powerful indecision and a little bit more powerful reversal going in the other direction. Let's see. DKI. Peter Karen International. Notice that there was a few dojis sitting right at the 50-day moving average in mid to late October, and you had a doji right before you had a white candle that came up through the 50-day moving average, then the next candle took it right up to the 200-day moving average, and it moved it up from there. That series of dojis with stochastics in the oversold area followed by a bullish sign or bullish candle should have told you it's time to now take a look at which way they're going to take this trend. And that trend continued predominantly until we saw the doji in mid-November at about, looks like about November 14th or so, followed the next day by a little gap down black candle with stochastics turning over. Again, that told you the probabilities were extremely high that that current uptrend was going to be over. Now, we also want to watch that when they pulled it back about November 26th, 27th, right in that area, we had two or three dojis, stochastics back down in the oversold area, starting to curl back up, and we see confirmation buying the next day. That becomes a very good signal that they've pulled it back, and now they're in the process of doing a J-hook pattern or one of David's three-wave patterns where they've pulled it back for wave two. Now you see the indecision going on with the dojis, and then after that indecision's over with, you can see which way they're going to take it. So this pattern should tell me that this next move is going to breach the recent high and probably do somewhat the same type of magnitude move as we saw from the 1750 area all the way up to the doji at the top.
Steve, do you... there's a question about size of candlesticks for a doji. I mean, where's the line between a doji and a spinning top?
It doesn't really matter. A doji is the pure opening and closing at or very close to the same level. The spinning top, even though it's not quite a doji, still represents the same thing. It's indecision that day. It's going to be a little less powerful than a doji, but it still represents indecision at a certain level. So don't get too analytical on the difference between a spinning top and a doji. They both should be visually the same thing. There's indecision going on in the trading that day. Let's see. Okay, I saw that. Try SIRF, Steve International, Robert Frank. This is the same type of pattern that we just saw in JAK or PKI, where there was a series of indecisive days about November 3rd to November 8th or so, all doji days with stochastics starting to level out and turn back up. It came back up to the upside, and then when it pulled back here in the last week or so, the stochastics got down to where they were starting to curl back up with another series of dojis, three or four dojis in a row. Again, anytime you see dojis forming one right after another, that's telling you there's indecision at that level and things are starting to change. We recommended that one this morning based on that if they brought it up to the 50-day moving average with stochastics curling back up, that if they opened it higher and took it up through the 50-day, that there's probably a high probability they were going to take this stock back up to at least test the recent high, and if there's nothing to stop it there, take it up the same magnitude as we saw from the first set of dojis in early November up to where it turned around. So that would look like another 3 or 4 points could possibly come into this stock. BRLC. It is one where in early November we had about 2 weeks solid of indecisive type days, doji days. And then that big breakout told us that there was now a new dynamic in that stock trend. As you can see, it's kind of held the 50-day moving average, but we had a little doji type day today right at the 50-day moving average with stochastics in a flat area. This becomes a very simple trade tomorrow. If it opens higher, you start buying aggressively. If it opens lower, they're having a hard time getting it through that level, and you don't start buying yet or buying any more. Again, that series of dojis followed by a candle that told us which way they were taking it becomes a very clear indication what the decision has been made after the series of indecision. Let's go to the Dow chart. How far back do you have your chart, David?
October.
Okay. As you can see, on about October 28th or 27th, there was a doji down there at the bottom, and it formed a Morningstar signal. Again, anytime you see a three-pattern signal, there were the dojis in the middle, that's usually going to represent a much more powerful move to the upside. Also with your stochastics in the oversold area. So using that, again, now you see, now rule number one is that you see a doji at the top, be ready to start taking profits. Notice on about November 6th, 7th, and 8th, there was three dojis there, but nothing kind of moved out of the trading range of where that last weight candle brought it up to, right below the 10,400 level. That's when you start analyzing what the Dow is doing in conjunction with what the NASDAQ is doing. If there's dojis and you're in the Dow and the NASDAQ is still showing strength, that kind of concludes that there's some indecision in the Dow, but there's not any selling coming in. It might just be a consolidation stage. Take a look at the NASDAQ chart. Oops, I lost it. Phooey, whatever I was going to illustrate, I don't see what it was on the NASDAQ chart. It may have been also during that first three or few days of November, there was three or four dojis forming, but nothing confirmed that the selling has started coming in yet. And that also is based on if you're seeing a lot of sectors still acting strong and the index is not pulling back any, you've got to kind of conclude that there's no money coming out of the market. It's probably just moving from sector to sector. AGI, Andy Gary International, also had a series of dojis in late October and the first of November. And then there was a little pop telling us which way they were going to move it, especially with your stochastics starting to come up. That becomes a very low-risk trade. If you buy on the day that they break it out from that level, at least you know your mental stop should be right below where that series of dojis are. So if it's going to be a bad trade, at least you know that your stop level is fairly close to where you got in. Take a look at BWG.
Who was that again?
BWNG, Billy William Nancy Gary. And here's a case where you've had kind of doji-type trading, very flat, ever since the last week of October. And then here's a prime example of seeing a pure doji the day before they gap it up and move it big in one direction or the other, which happened 3 days ago. So the first logical place that you tend to see resistance is again is at the 50-day moving average. And so you're from that gap up with from the doji or the series of dojis with some juice left in the stochastics, you know it's going to at least test the 50-day moving average. And when you get to the stochastics, or when you get to the 50-day moving average, you see how much juice you have left in your stochastics to see if they're going to have enough strength to push it through, which in this case they did fairly well today. So that becomes an obviously simple trade for me, is when I see a long line of dojis and then a strong move one way or the other, I want to be participating in that move because that means a new dynamic has now come into that stock. CL, Charlie Larry. Even though this is not a very exciting stock to trade, we had bought it on the ticker signal there in mid-October, got out of it not too long ago when it did the ticker signal about a week and a half ago, and then it came right back down to the 50-day moving average, and now we've seen a series of dojis and a strong move up today. That tells me I want to be buying this stock again, and that now that they've supported on the 50-day moving average, that they're at least going to try to come up and test the recent high and maybe take it up another leg from there. But the series of dojis, which we've seen four or five in the last few days right at the 50-day moving average, tells us that there was indecision at that support level, and it was time to start watching for a buy signal, especially with the stochastics back down in the oversold area. Try ARBA, Andy, Robert, Billy, Andy. This was a case, too, where it gapped up through the 200-day moving average. And so you want to see how far they're going to back it off. And when it got back down to the 50-day moving average, we see dojis. Even though the stochastics are still fairly high in the chart, it tells us that we want to start watching to see whether they're going to take it down through the 50-day moving average or take it up out of there. In this case, the big white candle that bounced right off the 50-day moving average after that series of dojis told us that we are now probably back in an uptrend. A little bit of selling went on about November 17th, where you had a couple of dojis and it backed off there, but that was over immediately. That was probably where to take those profits. Whether we'd be back in it at that point is hard to say. There might be better situations to be looking at, but at least the dojis told us where the support of the 50-day moving average and when it was time to get back out when it got back up in the overbought area. CHB. CHB shows in the mid to later part of October where we had some long-legged dojis that kept coming up to the 50-day moving average and showing indecision down at that stage, and then the gap up above the 50-day moving average made it very clear where they wanted to take it after that indecision. So once you see a series of dojis with the stochastics moving in the right direction, and you see a gap one way or the other, that becomes a very easy trade to get into. CTIC, Charlie Thomas International, Charlie. Whoops. Hold on. CTIC. Same thing here, except once this bounced off the 50-day moving average, it came up through the 200-day moving average. Notice the bearish doji Hiromi that told us that the uptrend had stopped. And now we've seen in the last couple of days when the stochastics got back down into the oversold area, there was a doji 3 days ago, and they gap it up a little bit and took it up through the 200-day moving average. This to me looks like a very good J-hook or a wave 1-2-3 pattern setting up. So we were in there buying today with the idea that they'll probably bring it back up and test the recent high just above 850 or 825. And it should have the same magnitude type move as when it came out of the 50-day moving average area up to the 825 area. So it looks like there's probably a good 2-point capability on this price move. Let's see, ULGX. Also had a series of dojis there at the end of October and the beginning of November with a breakout to the upside. Again, using David's moving averages, where was the first resistance going to be? Probably the 50-day moving average, which we see it hug that level for about 2 weeks before it came back up through it. But at least when I knew it was breaking out from the series of dojis there at the bottom, that flat trading period, that I could easily project the target, which would be potentially $7. So if I'm in at $5.30 to $7 is still a very good rate of return for that type of trade. Do IPIX. Let's see, I was showing IPIX because it also did some dojis about November, let's say, 17th, 20th time frame. But there wasn't any confirmation. Here was another situation where we saw the stochastics weren't showing anything greatly positive. It was still hugging the 50-day moving average. But, again, on dojis, you want to see confirmation one way or the other. In this case, we saw the confirmation was that it broke down through the 200-day moving average, and it's been weak ever since then. So although you're seeing dojis at a support level or a resistance level, you want to see what they're going to do with it from there. But fortunately, the dojis give you the alert that something should be happening very soon. So ADSX, Andy David Stephen X-Ray. This is the type of chart that you want to find where you see through September and October, you've had a series of doji-type trading, very flat, and then all of a sudden you have a gap up out of that doji area. Those are the types that you want to hang on to because once that new dynamic, for whatever reason, comes into the stock, that means you're probably in a fairly strong uptrend for a while. This one we've traded a couple of times in and out, and still on a long-term basis holding this until we see a severe sell signal, which we haven't seen yet. Let's see, did we do STEM, STEM?
No, not yet.
All right. Let's see, and here's another case where when you start getting a strong uptrend, you can notice on about November 15th where it backed right down to the 200-day moving average. It did a doji right on it. And the next day they open it higher, gives you a fairly good indication that doji or indecision right on a major support level has told you what they're planning to do with it after that. I guess also you see a few dojis late October, and when the uptrend is that strong, what you really want to do is make sure you get confirmation the next day that the sellers have stepped in. There's a couple dojis there where each day they get a doji, they moved it up higher the next day and get another doji. Let's see. I see there's some questions. Tell them because I'm pretty much one-sided. We'll get to those questions here in a minute. UTLE.
Who was that?
ULTE.
Got it.
And this was also a case where, notice that 2 days ago we had that little doji. After a series of dojis, the stochastic started to move up, and then they gap it up through the 50-day moving average. Even though it did a Hiromi today, which probably tells me a Hiromi spinning top, tells me there may be a couple days of consolidation here, but that gap up from the doji through the 50-day moving average is still my strong buy indicator that I'm probably going to hold on to the stock for quite a few days, because they're probably going to take it up to a new level. Now, I don't usually follow under $5 stocks, but somebody brought this one to me. The gap up that started in late September and kept us trading up now toward the 50-day moving average tells me there's probably a lot of buying strength coming into this, and I want to probably hold on to this for a little bit. EXM, Edward X-Ray Mary. And you have that series of indecision, doji-type trading from late October to almost mid-November before you see the little doji hammer and then followed by a big up day. That tells me that this stock has now decided which way it's going to go. Now it had pulled back today right to the 50-day moving average, but my stochastics are still heading up. I will still be a buyer of this stock tomorrow if I start seeing any strength coming in, keeping it above the 50-day moving average. Let's see, UTSI. UTSI is a stock that David and I had been discussing last night as being something that has the potential of breaking out, which it did today. It was set up nicely because we had a whole little scoop pattern of dojis for the last couple of weeks. And then a white candle yesterday that broke it out above the recent high, which meant stochastics coming up, and we're starting to see buying. If it moved up from there, we were up in a gap area that had no resistance to it. So this stock moved up fairly strong today with the idea that there's no resistance until it gets up to the 200-day moving average and filling the gap at about the $25 range. But those series of dojis and this last little scoop told me there was a lot of indecision going on. My stochastics were back down in the oversold area. This just became a good high probability trade. Let's see. Did we do? Yeah, we did. FIRF. Let's do your Juniper. JUPM. JUPM was one that did a bullish engulfing pattern after a doji with stochastics in the oversold area. Your first target was potentially the 50-day moving average, which would have been decent to get to in a 2 or 3 day period, but it did it today. Now, with the stochastics still coming out of the oversold area with a doji followed by a bullish engulfing pattern, if it opens up higher, more than likely they're going to take this up for another few days. So my next target is probably the $21 area. There's a little gap at the $21.50. So it looks like there's enough juice in the stochastics to keep this in an uptrend for a little bit yet. And let's see. Now, what I look for today is, if I'm looking for potential dojis at the bottom, my scan, which is using the TCNet scan, stocks greater than 5, volume greater than 200,000, and stochastics in the oversold area, less than 20, that's my basic criteria, and then I put the formula for the doji in there, so I'm looking for dojis in the oversold area. The ones that I came up with today was, hold on for a second, AMLN. didn't finish up with Quake the Doji. Let me go through. I came up with 8 scans today for Dojis at the bottom. Right before the close, AMLN looked pretty good, and it's still not a bad one to be considering for a positive move tomorrow. Also, DNDN, David Nancy. Notice how for the last 2 weeks it's done dojis just above the 50-day moving average, and today it did a bullish engulfing pattern. Yesterday, the tail of that doji touched right on the 50-day moving average, and we had a strong day today, so now my next logical target is to come back up and test the 200-day moving average. Stochastics in the overbought area starting to curl up. This becomes a high probability trade that make approximately about a 10-12% return, hopefully over the next couple of days.
Yeah, we put that out this morning. It looked real good.
Okay. And let's see. I think the last one I found that looked decent was EYET, Edward Young, Edward Thomas.
Oh, pretty.
Yep, so that one looks decent. Especially when you had, notice how the dojis in about the 5th of October, where they came down and touched the 50-day moving average, gapped up from there. We've had a consolidation stage until the 50-day moving average caught up to the price. Now we've had a doji yesterday followed by a bullish candle today. The logic is that this now is probably ready to come out of its consolidation stage and start up for the third leg of this uptrend. So that's probably going to be on our recommended list for tomorrow, both for the stock and maybe even the options on this one. So in conclusion, I do a lot of my analysis based on the dojis, even though there's a the other 11 signals, if you haven't bought the major signals poster, the doji is the first one on the poster. I use the doji quite a bit. The doji to me is one of the most powerful signals other than the kicker signal. So I can come up with enough trades each day that any time I see a doji or a series of dojis with a strong candle going one way or the other, I know that's going to be a high probability trade. Speaking of kicker signal, is it CHS? CHS, Chico's today did a very strong kicker signal.
Right over the 200.
Yep. So this tells me logically that this one is now starting a strong uptrend, and if not a stock play, at least a an option play. So anyways, that's also, remember, all the stuff that we sell, we've got a special going on. If you want to click through First Wave site on the my candlestick forum, Profitable Candlestick Trading, the special we have going on right now is if you buy the 12 major signals, which is 9 hours of me going through each of the major signals, about a 45-minute CD, and telling all the specifics of why those signals work and where they work most effectively and what the psychology is behind those signals. The most important thing about the signals is if you understand the psychology of what goes on in investors' minds to form these signals, you have a much better understanding of why trends reverse and what makes a trend move. So the special is that if you buy that, that's a $509 package that we've got on special for $397.77, and if you buy it through David's site, we also throw in, I think it's a CD on gap ups at the bottom. And what else did I throw in? The flashcards. So you get another $100 on top of value on top of the $112 discount. So anyway, that stuff is on David's site. When you click on books, click on Profitable Candlestick Trading, and it brings up the specials. So with that, I'll go ahead and take whatever questions. I'll let you read the questions, David, and I'll answer them.
All right. Well, I'll work backwards here. Sister Practice has a question on kickers. Does it a color affect your thinking when they get all the way to obvious resistance on the first day of the kicker? Sometimes it just kind of finishes the move there.
Normally, a kicker signal is created by a severe change of investor sentiment, which was caused by either a news item or an event. And the kicker signal is the strength of that signal. So even if it closes, comes from a 50-day moving average, and closes on a kicker signal that next day on a 200-day moving average, the strength of the signal itself still tells me to look to see if they're going to take it right through that resistance level. Or, at worst, because the kicker signal has already told me there's a dynamic change of investor sentiment, that even if it consolidates at that level for a couple of days, it doesn't bother me because I know that the new psychology in that trend is eventually going to push that stock higher. Again, the resistance and support levels become less of a factor once the kicker signal is formed.
Okay, next. Let's see. A question on when you make your decision on trading, is it a stock or an option? What do you determine whether it's going to be an option or a stock trade?
The amount of leverage that I can get out of the position. If I can see that a $45 stock has an extremely good chart and it's going to take me up to $49, that might just be on the fringe of whether I want to try to make a 9% move in that stock, whereas I may be looking at something like some of the ones we looked at earlier where I may have a 15, 20, 30% potential, that if I don't, even though the probability of that trade working is extremely good, but it may only be for an 8% move, then I'll go ahead and say, all right, let me leverage it with options where I might make a 40% move on the options versus an 8% move on the stock.
I put up Citigroup, the letter C. Look at that chart on that kicker and give us your comments.
That is just slightly, that's stretching it as far as a kicker signal. But that's still a very powerful signal. It looks like it did somewhat of a hammer signal right on the 50-day moving average. And the gap up, which there was a little gap up from yesterday's close, which now gapped up over yesterday's open, and the up move with stochastics in the oversold area starting to curl up, this becomes an extremely high probability trade. So we know that at least it's probably going to test the 4720 area or the 4710 area, the 200-day moving average. And you also have done, look at the mid or late October where you had the hammer at the bottom and the gap up. It's come up through the 50-day moving average, came back down and tested it. This to me tells me now they've decided which way they're going to take it on a strong signal. And probably you've got the magnitude of move from the 4250 area to the 47 area, which was leg one, of at least that from leg two. So what was that, 5 points? So you're probably looking at a $50 potential on this next move. Now, that gets me at around a 8, 10% move. I'm probably going to be more likely to go ahead and buy the, let's say, the December 45 that I'm guessing it'd be about $1.35, $1.40, and hope that I could get a 5.50 price for them over the next 4 or 5 days.
Well, nice doji reversal there on the October low.
Yes. Yes, and that's exactly a doji followed by a gap up with stochastics in the oversold area curling up. The probability you're going to make money with that trade is extremely high. Is that trade going to produce 2% or 20%? You don't know that. You just know you have a high probability of, at least in that case, that it was going to come up and at least test the 50-day moving average So you could already see that there was about a 6, 7, 8% possibility with a high probability trade. So that, again, would have been more of an option trade versus putting your money in just to make 6% on that move with stock when you might have made 30% on an option trade.
Okay. ULGX. Uncle Larry George X-ray.
Right. Yeah, that was the one we used an example where leg one came up to the 50-day moving average, it hugged it for a while, and now it's come up through. So my logical target would be from $8 to $9 because there's a gap there, and then the potential that if it kept moving, that it's going to eventually test the 200-day moving average at 10, which in the case of we had bought it down closer to the 540 area and still hanging on to it, that there's still potential of another 50% move in this stock. And right now there's nothing to show me that I shouldn't still be owning this stock.
Yeah, well, it's still above the upper mobile, so it says the momentum is still up.
Yep.
Okay, somebody has Ivan up.
I think it's still kind of iffy. I guess honestly, I wouldn't be playing this one today until I saw something occur one way or the other. Either come back down and throw me a buy signal on the 50-day or the 200-day moving average. But right now, I wouldn't be playing this one.
Good, thank you.
There's nothing there.
RFMD. Roger, Frank, Mary, Doctor.
Same type of thing here. We've seen a bullish engulfing pattern. It's come right back up to the 200-day moving average the second time. And if you all follow David's teachings, that it tests the 200-day moving average the first time, pulls back, and the second time, it will probably go through. In this case, they closed it above it. If I saw more strength in this stock, I would definitely be, if I didn't own it already, I'd be buying. If I owned it, I'd be holding this stock. I mean, this is almost a classic case of it did a gap up from a doji at the 50-day moving average, and the first move it made was right up to the 200-day moving average before it backed off, and now they're taking it back up through again.
Motorola, M-O-T.
Nothing yet to show me if there's anything, any reason to sell. Now it is, it does have stochastics in the overbought area, but at this point I would be saying hold, but be watching for a sell signal. And again, in candlestick analysis, the longer your trend has persisted, the more convincing your sell signal needs to be to get out of the stock. A weak sell signal probably tells you it's just going to be a some profit taking in an uptrend. But as of right now, I'd be holding on to Motorola with the idea that I'm got my finger on the trigger looking for a sell signal.
Google, G-O-O-G.
Okay, somebody saying they need more volume.
No, that's me. I'm not talking into the mic too well.
All right. Google, kind of iffy right now. I don't have anything definitive on Google. So if that were my case, well, there's too many other charts right now to be playing if this one looks kind of iffy.
Okay. David Frank, Indian Berry.
David Frank, Indian Berry. That's a nice little chart. We had dojis that were down near the How come I missed this one myself? The $2 stock? I would be a buyer on strength from this stock. If I owned it, I'd be holding it. This looks like they're starting to take it up to the next leg. But that was, to me, that's a strong hold and a good buy.
Yeah, we had this on last night. We talked about it, and it was on our buy list this morning.
Okay. The gap up today, again, with your stochastics down near the lower end of the trading area, tells me that the gap up says there's strong buying coming in, and that means there's probably more to follow.
Nice bowl of golfing of that doji, too.
Yes. Again, anytime you see a doji at the end of a flat trading period and then followed by either strong buying or another bullish signal right behind it, that tells you what they're going to do right after that indecision day. An inordinate number of times you're going to see the doji occur right before a drastic change in a trend. Whether that trend has been a flat or down or up, the doji usually is an indication that something major is going to be happening the next day.
Okay. ASEI, Alpha Sam Indian, or Echo Indian.
ASEI. Not quite a bullish engulfing pattern. Stochastics are in the oversold area. It hasn't done a signal today, even though the stochastics are in the oversold area. So I would say hold it if you own it or buy it on strength. But since there really hasn't been a candlestick signal forming at this level, you have to be a little bit more diligent to see if this will fizzle out that much quicker. The other problem with this one is only traded 56,000 shares today. Makes it a little bit hard to get in and out of unless you're doing very small positions.
Okay. UTFI. Uncle Tom Sam Indian.
Sam Indian?
I think we already did this one.
Yeah, we did that. That's the breakout today.
Okay. We're getting stuff here that we've already covered. Hold on. SWIR.
It was a nice breakout today. There isn't any real signal here other than there hasn't been any sell signal since the uptrend started. Even though it's been sloppy, it's been in an uptrend, which there's been quite a few of these type of stocks. The nice convincing thing was that once it came up through the 50-day moving average, notice the doji and the spinning top, where the spinning top came down and just touched exactly on the 50-day moving average before they started bringing it back up again. So at this point, I would definitely be holding this stock. And because it's been moving for a month and a half in a slow, steady uptrend, I guess a 20-cent move isn't slow and steady, but a good uptrend, a very severe sell signal to have me close out the position.
All right. HRT.
That's getting ready. Notice the stochastics are in the oversold area. We've had a series of dojis. This one will be a nice one if they open it up higher. This one's a setup for coming up through the 50-day moving average and showing some strength again. So I would be buying this stock on strength, and the strength I'd like to see is that they are traded up above the 50-day moving average.
Okay. Let's see, where am I? CAAS, Charlie Alpha Alpha Sam.
This one kind of tells me that there's going to be a little bit of a sell-off with the morning star type signal. I'm sorry, evening star type signal. When they did gap it up, they did the doji, and now they've closed it more than halfway down into the previous day's white candle. That tells me that buyers are not around very much anymore. If I owned it, I'd be selling it on weakness tomorrow. But I would also keep watching to see if they do a doji or a hammer type signal because it did break out exactly where it was supposed to. But right now, I'd be taking some profits and waiting for the next buy signal.
All right. BBBY. Bed Bath and Beyond.
Did a little bullish engulfing, or did a little bullish for Romy, right on the 50-day moving average with stochastics in the oversold area starting to come back up. I would be a buyer if this stock opens higher tomorrow. The probabilities are that you've got a good trade. Again, it would look like it would come up and at least test the $44 range, which may not be a high percentage move on a $40 stock, so this I would probably take a look at the options to see if they were a better play than the stock price.
Okay. Kong, K-O-N-G.
Still on a steady uptrend. I would definitely be holding the stock, and I would probably put my sell stop at where it opened today, that if it came back down through there, I would be out of it. But again, we've had a little doji with a gap up, and there's nothing to tell me that this uptrend has come to an end yet.
Yeah, my comment is it's just overbought in an uptrend and outside linear regressions. They like to pull back even though the trend's up, so my guess is we're just pulling back in an uptrend.
Am I looking at the same one? K-O-M-G?
Oh, N is it Nancy.
Oh, okay. Looking at two different stocks. K-O-N-G. Yeah, there hasn't been a signal yet. Now, the doji yesterday would have been a little bit worrisome, but notice how they opened it up higher again today. So that doesn't tell me there's anything to be concerned about yet. But I would probably use a close below the doji of yesterday as a stop. If it closed down below that, I'd probably be taking profits as I owned it. But with this much strength looking like it's come into it, I think you're right. There's probably just some profit taking going on, and we're still probably on a good strong uptrend.
Okay. Go America, G-O-A-M.
Mm-hmm.